ओम शांति 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 ही। ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं। देवाय तस्मै नमः। ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। ओम अक्षर ब्रह्म योगो नाम अष्टमोध्यायः। सो लास्ट क्लास आई ब्रीफ्ड दैट इन एथ चैप्टर भगवान हाइलाइट्स द डिसिप्लिन ऑफ सगुण ब्रह्म उपासनम and he discusses the topic of saguna brahma upasanam as part of his answer to Arjuna's question, the seventh question, how Bhagavan could be remembered at the time of death, for which Bhagavan answers. In his answer he also highlights the saguna brahma upasanam. And first he said, it is very important fact that whatever a person thinks, whatever thoughts a person entertains, and those thoughts alone actually later on get expressed in the form of words and actions. And those actions in due course of time gradually become a person's habits, and the expression of one's habits in his actions and speech becomes a means to determine his even his character. Therefore, the whatever thoughts we entertain at the time of death, and the following birth will be definitely in keeping with what a person is thinking at the time of death. So if we have to entertain appropriate thoughts in our mind at the time of death, so auspicious thoughts, so that the following birth will be predominantly determined by the thoughts we entertain at the time of death. So the whole life we must entertain such thoughts. So what we want to be thinking of at the time of death must be thought by us always in our day-to-day life. This is a fact emphasized by Bhagavan. Because the thoughts, although what are thoughts we entertain, naturally, they become sukshma vrittis in our subconscious. And whatever is the form of sukshma vrittis in the subconscious alone surface later on. Therefore, the importance of taking care of the thoughts we entertain in our minds is very, very important. Always when we perceive things wrongly, if we mistake people's behavior, even if people intentionally humiliate you, hurt you, offend you also, if we do not pay attention and they are not real for us, even if the other people do not even humiliate you, hurt you, do not intend to do any harm to you, but by behavior, but whatever their preoccupations and they behave, if I perceive things wrongly, if we perceive other people's behavior wrongly, and thereby we feel humiliated, we feel offended, and we feel hurt, and we entertain a lot of anger and vengeance, and then things you only determine, and not only don't let it go, again, you remember that, to remember forever, you have to write and type and keep it underneath. I tell you, the more you pay attention to those things, and you have a pointer, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this. It means you are memorizing what your other person has done to you. Other person has not done to you. It is your own thinking you memorize. And again, lot of anger, lot of pain, all that goes to subconscious. And there will be again different occasions and there remain unresolved, unsettled issues. We call them even childhood issues and they alone surface. You are the age of 70, even the age of 80, even 90, even 60, 70, 50. They are given situations, similar situations come and those situations trigger the old pain, old hurt, old offendings and they surface. When they surface and then again your behavior is uncontrollable. This is how unresolved even childhood issues we have. Unresolved lifelong issues also we have and they come again and again. The whole life we become miserable, make others also miserable. So it's very important to understand the teaching, to try to entertain the thoughts in such a way. Even the thoughts come and that is why we are blessed with the willpower. Use the willpower and think of your not going against dharma. So this knowledge of dharma and willpower we must use in expressing those thoughts, in also resolving thoughts, and also japa, prayer, etc. also will help you manage our emotions, manage our thoughts. Finally, in jnanam, you don't need to manage, they will resolve for good. That's why jnanam is the only medicine. Why if you say jnanam is the medicine for mental suffering, misery, to put an end to the mental suffering, misery for good, the only dose, the medication is what? Jnanam. That is why it's called bheshajam. Mental sickness. We don't need to be totally sick like other people who are chained, you know, in the mental hospitals. Otherwise also, if you are worried, if you are sorrowful, if you are grieving, if you are complaining, if you are, you know, then definitely we are sick. A lot of anger, we are sick. So these things also had to be handled. And what is the solution? Shastram says, jnana deva kaivalyam. Only in jnanam, we can have those emotions and thoughts resolved for good. That is why jnanam is said to be bheshajam medicine. We understand why this, the once you are born, that itself is a disease. After being born, being endowed with ignorance is another disease. And because of ignorance, have been deluded, also disease. In delusion, our wrong thinking, wrong perception, and wrong, you know, and then wrong thinking based behavior, everything is becomes what? Disease. Why? You are unhappy, you make others also unhappy. That is why this is called a disease. And for this disease, only medicine is what? Jnanam. In jnanam, you don't need to do anything. In total perspective change, everything will resolve for good. But the problem is, how to, jnanam, attainment of jnanam is very, very easy. But again, the mind must be relatively relieved of all these problems. Otherwise, jnanam is not possible. As Swamiji used to say, this gives his example. This mad fellow should get married to get rid of madness. But who will give him a girl in marriage to his mad fellow if he is mad? The problem, isn't it? So you must be relatively mentally free to attain jnanam. But you only attain jnanam, you will become, you are mentally free. The problem here. That is why Shastram gives this, what is Shastram says, attainment of jnanam, attainment of freedom is very easy. Only preparing this mind for this jnanam alone involves difficulty. That is why we need Ishwara Krupa, Bhagavat Krupa. We need Bhagavan's grace. And for which we must be prayerful, seek desperately, knowing the value of being able to use your willpower, and also knowledge of values. So pray desperately, pray intensely, pray fervently, seek Bhagavan's grace not to be wrong at all in your behavior. Apart from that, make use of your willpower, make use of the knowledge of right and wrong, use them. That is the only way you can really take care of our thoughts. So that such thoughts, and we carefully take care of our thoughts, we very, very, very carefully we maintain our thoughts, so that in the long run, even at the time of death, we'll be able to entertain proper thoughts, so that the future also, birth also will be accordingly better life. This is a fact Bhagavan indirectly emphasized here. We saw yam yam vapismaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram tam tamevaiti kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavitah. Yam yam vapismaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram tam tamevaiti kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavitah. So we saw this. Yam yam vapi bhavam smaran ante kalevaram tyajati. Whatever a person thinks at the time of death, and he leaves the body thinking of anything, and tamtameva yeti kaunteya, he attains only that, the very whatever object he is thinking of at the time of death, thinking, and he gives up the, he leaves the physical body, and he attains this very object, that very object he is thinking of at the time of death. Why? Because sada tad bhava bhavitaha, always remaining steeped in entertaining the thought, and choicelessly he attains that very object. This we saw last class. Okay. Therefore, what Bhagavan says now, what is next thing? You cannot help. And this is actually a law. This is really a law. What is that law? Whatever you think, always. So whatever thoughts you entertain, the same thoughts will be entertained at the time of death. And whatever thought you entertain at the time of death, and you become or you attain, you know, those same objects, what you are thinking of at the time of death. Therefore, in the next verse, Bhagavan says, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha, mayarpitamano buddhihi mame vaishyasya samshayah, mayarpitamano buddhihi mame vaishyasya samshayah. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha, mayarpitamano buddhihi mame vaishyasya samshayah. Bhagavan says, tasmat, therefore, sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara. Sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara. Yudhyacha. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. Now why Bhagavan says, all times, always, sarveshu kaleshu, all the time, Mameva Mam Anusmara. May you remember me, Arjuna. Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara. Why? If you remember me always, then you remember me at the time of death also. If you remember Bhagavan always, we can remember Bhagavan at the time of death also. If we can remember Bhagavan at the time of death, we can remember Bhagavan even next Janma also. If Bhagavan is not in our thoughts in this Janma, how do you expect to have Bhagavan next Janma? Therefore, Bhagavan has to be there always in your mind for you to think of Bhagavan at the time of death. That's why Shastram says, you must be contemplative when you are healthy. For you to be contemplative at the time of death. Then you attain moksha, or assimilated wisdom, ought to be born with the contemplative disposition. Also, you must be, it's all, it doesn't happen overnight. It involves effort. It involves long time, time practice. So, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara. See, smara means may you remember. Anusmara means continuously remember. Mam anusmara. May you remember me all the time. So, remembering Bhagavan should not prevent you from doing your duties. Remembering the Lord should not prevent you from doing your duties. If you live a life of karma yoga, you're conscious of not going against the dharma. If you have Ishwara Arpana Buddhihi, if you have the attitude of offering your actions to Bhagavan, then if your commitment is to the attainment of jnanam and moksha, Bhagavan is never forgotten. So living a life of karma yoga, in fact, is the only way you can remember Bhagavan always. So yudhyacha. Yudhyacha, may you fight and also fight. What does it mean? Do your duty properly in conformity with dharma, with the proper attitude of offering a duty to me, Ishwarpana Buddhihi, as yoga, as a preparatory discipline. Then what happens? You never forget me. So anusmara yudhyacha. So anusmara yudhyacha means do your duty remembering Bhagavan. Means doing one's duties without forgetting Bhagavan, bringing Bhagavan in everyday life is equal to living a life karma yoga. So Krishna says, puts it differently. That's all. Yudhyacha, mayarpita mano buddhihi. Then what happens? Once you remember me always and you do your duties, or do you do all your duties remembering me always? If you do your duties, remembering me always, then what happens? Your mind, your intellect, everything becomes offered to me. Mayi arpita mano buddhihi. You know, which is this very interesting word. Mayi arpita mano buddhihi means your intellect is offered to Bhagavan, your mind is offered to Bhagavan. What does it mean? Offering one's intellect, mind to Bhagavan means, you know, surrendering one's will to Bhagavan in the form of dharma. That all your desires and emotions are managed because of your commitment to dharma. But your intellect is committed, given to Bhagavan means what? You're committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Your ultimate goal is jnanam, which itself is moksha, which itself is Bhagavan. So attain commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is commitment to the attainment of Bhagavan, commitment to attainment of moksha. Therefore, with the purushartha nischeha, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, when you do everything in conformity with dharma, with the proper attitude, then such a person is called mayi arpita mano buddhihi. And such a person, na samshayaha, mameva eshyasi. Hey Arjuna, if you are mayarpitta mano buddhihi, no doubt, na samshayaha, no doubt, Mam eva yeshasi, you will reach me alone. You will definitely attain me alone. What does it mean? You attain me alone means you attain Bhagavan. You attain Bhagavan means you attain moksha. You attain jnanam. You will not have samsara, end up in samsara. That is the meaning. Okay, let me make it very clear. Mameva eshyasi, you will attain me alone. Asamshayam, na samshayaha, no doubt at all. Mayar pitamano buddhihi, mameva eshyasya samshayaha. So remembering Bhagavan should not stop anyone from doing one's duties. In fact, doing one's duties with focused attention itself is one of the ways of remembering Bhagavan. So while doing your duties, if you're conscious of dharma, you're using your will and you are committed with because to prepare your mind for jnanam, then you are remembering Bhagavan. You are not forgetting Bhagavan at all. All the time, I am living this life ultimately for jnanam, ultimately for jnanam, for moksha. Moksha is my choiceless end. If you remember this, you are remembering Bhagavan only. Because aspiring for jnanam is actually aspiring for Bhagavan. That's made very clear. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina paramam purusham divyam yati parthanu chintayan. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasananyagamina paramam purusham divyam yati parthano chintayan. See, Ishvara anusmaranam. Before I go here, Ishvara anusmaranam, Bhagavad anusmaranam, constantly, continuously, without forgetting, remembering Bhagavan in day-to-day life while doing all one's duties. You know, Bhagavan makes it very clear. It is not simply emotionally leaning on Bhagavan. People have this problem of leaning on even gurus. Leaning on so-called teachers. Not teacher. Teacher means you can't lean. Teacher is a boring person, okay? You will lean on gurus, okay? The teachers will keep you away. Swamiji used to tell, you know, you can call somebody a guru only when a person helps you discover freedom from emotional dependence. He wants you to go again and again to him. He wants to enslave you. And be very careful. The teaching must be such that the student must be able to discover the freedom from emotional dependence. He becomes dependent on, independent of Bhagavan. Why don't guru? You know, the jnanam should be such that we must free you from dependence upon even Bhagavan. Only then he is a teacher. Otherwise, what is the teaching? So guru who is the one who frees you from emotional dependence, not the one who, you know, makes you emotionally enslaved. So we get easily emotionally hooked to Bhagavan also. Very easy. But Bhagavan says, mayi arpita manaha, mayi arpita buddhihi. What means there's no conviction. No, if there's no conviction, attainment of Bhagavan, attainment of jnanam, attainment of jnanam, attainment of mokshaha, all the three are synonyms. And what I am desperately aspiring, I am not interested in Bhagavan, I am not interested in jnanam also, I am interested only in my happiness, sukham. This is a fact. Who cares for Bhagavan? Who will care for Jnanam? If moksha is not your ego, Bhagavan cannot give you moksha, you will not care for Bhagavan also. Okay, I tell you, we are interested in Bhagavan, we are interested in Jnanam because that is the buying power for moksha, isn't it? For moksha, I am interested in my moksha, I am interested in my happiness, I am interested in my peace of mind. That is why moksha is said to be Parampurushartha. We never say Bhagavan is Parampurushartha. We never say Jnanam is Parampurushartha. No. Even though Jnanam itself is Parampurushartha, even though Bhagavan himself is Parampurushartha, we do not say, we only say moksha is Parampurushartha. No, why? We must be convinced. It's called intellectually, you must be convinced of the fact I am desperately aspiring for freedom from limitations. I am desperately aspiring for peace of mind and happiness only. Happiness is my ultimate choiceless goal. Through artha, kama, dharma, what I am aspiring for is moksha only. I must be 100% convinced. And that happiness, everlasting happiness, the non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting happiness is only in discovering, in changing, in having a different perspective of myself and the world, and for which I really, what I need is jnanam, that I must be free from delusion, or even my perception has to go, for ajnanam has to be resolved, for which I need only jnanam. Jnanam is the only means. And knowledge is of the very truth of the whole jagat, which is available as my own swarupam. It is the truth which is given that another title, Ishvara. So Bhagavan is actually the very reality, very truth, the swarupam of everything. Therefore, everything is Bhagavan's manas swarupam. The swarupam of everything is Bhagavan, and Bhagavan alone is in the form of everything. Okay? The swarupam, the truth of everything is Bhagavan. Bhagavan, the truth alone, is in the form of everything. This is a fact I do not know, Shastram says. And I need to discover this truth, which is discovery of Bhagavan, which is discovery of moksha. They're not different. I must be convinced of this fact. That's called buddhi arpanam, okay? I must be convinced of the fact. Then, when I'm committed to the pursuit of jnanam, for which itself is moksha, which itself is Bhagavad Sakshatkaraha, then naturally I can surrender my will also to Bhagavan in the form of dharma. Everything I do in my life becomes offered to Bhagavan in the form of dharma. That's called Mayi Arpita Mano Buddhihi, means Sada Bhagavad Anusmaranam. Sada Bhagavad Anusmaranam. Always remembering Bhagavan. Constantly, continuously not forgetting Bhagavan. I live my life means I never forget even for a fraction of a second that I am living this life ultimately for moksha, which is only jnanam. Jnanam is moksha. Because only my moksha is in jnanam. That is why I want jnanam. My moksha is in discovering Bhagavan. That is why I want jnanam. Therefore, I want Bhagavan, I want to know Bhagavan, I want to know the truth because that is where my moksha is. What I'm aspiring for ultimately is not Bhagavan, not jnanam, actually my moksha. It is, I must be convinced. If I'm convinced of this fact, then my total commitment is to the pursuit of knowledge, then my buddhi becomes offered to Bhagavan. It's called offering one's buddhi to Bhagavan. Okay? There's no way of offering our buddhi. How can just cut and throw it, offer to Bhagavan? So this is what is offering. So I'm not simply mechanically, emotionally leaning on Bhagavan, emotionally hooked to Bhagavan. See, the whole life we are friendly with people. Know why? Very friendly and nice because emotionally hooked. And something happens and I show my real swarupam, keep away from people. Even relationship with people breaks. Know why? Because you're emotionally, you're hooked. You are not genuinely seeing things. The any relationship, Swamiji always used to tell us, I just love this teaching which I got from Swamiji. And then the whole teaching, you don't need to see Gita from top, first chapter to last chapter. The most important factor Swamiji said is, to be frank, there's no real friendship. There is no real, this is fact. There's no real friendship means what? There's no real, I love that person, you love this, but not true. Everybody love, you love yourself. You love happiness. There's no real love of husband, love of children, love of parents, nothing. Genuinely speaking, you love yourself. You love happiness. And so any relationship with, between anybody will last forever if you have respect dharma and the value of dharma. If your intimacy, relationship between two people or many people is based on the commitment to dharma, the trust is possible, relationship will last forever. That the friendship must be based on the trust a person has another person, which is again because of the commitment to dharma. It will last. Such relationship will last. Then friendship is there. The mutual care is there. Mutual concern is there. Because I can't go against dharma. So I can't think of doing any harm to you. Whatever possible, I do good to you. If not possible, I say sorry to you. They're genuine. So you also understand. This is genuine. This is the satyam. You know, this is what we always emphasized. Therefore, what I'm saying, here, emotionally we get hooked to people and we break relationship with people. Because when the mood changes, emotional nothing available to hold on to and you finished. You throw away the person. There's a problem with many people there because they're emotionally very needy. They're not bad people. They're not wrong people. Emotionally needy. The same thing happens with the gurus also. With Bhagavan also, same thing happens. Every day I go to temple, I do palpayasam, I do naivedyam, this naivedyam, and something wrong happens. You know, I don't want to go to temple anymore. I don't want to go worship anymore. Yesterday I had to talk to one young boy who came to temple in Ilford, Durga Mandir. He's such a nice boy. He had it very well. And then his mother is very hardworking, young widow, worked very hard. He also a very hardworking boy. And he was expecting to get to medicine in Imperial College, London. And he couldn't get really good marks. He couldn't get a seat. And he saw me, I'm not going to come to Durga Mandir anymore. Of course, he's a child. I can understand his problems. And I like him very much. He's such a nice boy. So I had to spend a lot of time yesterday. Esther, I tell you, I spent more than 2 hours just to talk to him. And he went back happily. You know, I don't know, I do bioscience, I do biomedical engineering, do that, you're touching a lot of things. What I'm saying here, what I want to say, at least he's a young boy. When things go wrong, immediately people throw away the pictures, then they stop lighting the lamp, they don't stop going to the temple. Why? With Bhagavan also, I treat Bhagavan also like my friends. Emotionally, I get hooked to friends, and I break relationship with them. But one also, I throw pictures, I throw away, I stop lighting the lamp, I don't want to pray anymore. Why? Because things don't, lots of failures in my life. Lots of unpleasant situations in my life. What is use of worshipping Bhagavan? This also is called what? Without being intellectually convinced of the subtle facts, emotionally getting hooked in the beginning like a child is good. But as you grow physically older, you must also intellectually be convinced of Bhagavan is my only hold. Initially, parents teach you, bow to Bhagavan, bow to worship Bhagavan, Bhagavan will protect you. Bhagavan kapatwar, ummachi namaskar manna. We say all those things in the beginning as a child. It's okay in the beginning. But as we grow older, we must be convinced of the fact is Bhagavan is the only source of protection. Nothing else will protect you. Convinced must be. So not emotionally getting hooked. That is why Krishna says, Mayarpita manaha, Mayarpita buddhihi. You must be intellectually convinced of the fact that Bhagavan is only source of protection. And you must be emotionally also, what now? Prepared. You must offer, definitely, all my thoughts must be well managed. But by my commitment to the live a life of dharma. My will must be rendered to Bhagavan of dharma so that all my thoughts are well managed. So I make use of my will. I make use of my knowledge of right and wrong. So I live a life of dharma with the convinced I'm convinced of the fact that unless and until I live my life in conformity with dharma, then there's no way of becoming prepared for jnanam. And why? Because jnanam is the only means for moksha. This understanding, one must have this clear, doubt-free understanding. You cannot improve the teaching. You cannot make a teaching better than this. This is the teaching. This is the fact. Isn't it? Then, tell me, when do you forget Bhagavan? If this is there, can you forget Bhagavan? Once you wake up in the morning, along with the essence comes what? Your moksha purushartha, your jnana, commitment to the jnanam, your commitment to whatever you have to do that day, how you do it in conformity with dharma. So there never a time you forget Bhagavan. It's called Ishvara Anusmaranam, Bhagavad Anusmaranam. So Krishna says, if you remember me, then always, if you offer your mind intellect to me, then no doubt, Arjuna, how can you miss the jnanam? Even if you're not in this janma, next janma, some other janma, you will attain jnanam and you will reach me. So reaching Bhagavan, attaining Bhagavan is not physical attainment. It is resolving one's individuality in totality, seeing the fact of one's own self being the very truth, which is one and the only truth of everything, which is given the name Ishvara. Okay. Even which is it, which will attain Mokshaha. So Bhagavan says here. See, the indirectly, the Karma Yoga is emphasized. Okay.
Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Chetasa Nanya Gamina Paramam Purusham Divyam Yati Parthano Chintayan Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Chetasa Nanya Gamina Paramam Purusham Divyam Yati Parthano Chintayan.
So here, hey Partha, Bhagavan continues to say, Partha, Anuchintayan means what? Continuously, constantly, you know, without forget, thinking of Bhagavan. Whom Purusham, Purushaha here means Ishwaraha, Bhagavan. Paramam Purusham, Paramam Divyam, no, here. Continuously thinking of Bhagavan. How? Chetasa, with the mind. And what mind it is? Na Anyagamina. The mind which is not given to any other pursuit as an ultimate pursuit, ultimate goal. Na Anyagamina means with the distraction free, with a distraction free mind. So continuously, constantly thinking of, dwelling upon Bhagavan with a distraction free mind. Na Nanyagamina Chetasa. Nanyagamina Manasa. With a distraction free mind. Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena. The mind which is not only which is distraction free. Abhyasa Yoga Yuktam Chetas. The mind which is distraction free because of the continuous practice. Abhyasa Yoga Yuktam Manaha. Abhyasa Yoga means what here? Abhyasa Yoga Yukta Manaha means because of the continuous practice. Yoga means meditation here. By continuous practice of meditation, by continuous constant practice of meditation, the mind is what now? Distraction free mind. And with such a distraction free mind, which is earned a result of constant practice, when a person continues thinking of Bhagavan, then such a person paramam divyam purusham yati. Definitely, such a person attains the Lord. And which Lord? The absolute Lord, who is none other than the absolute reality, and who is the most auspicious, divine, absolute reality, which is the Ishvara, the Lord. Attains the exalted Lord Ishvara, paramam divyam purusham yati. Anuchintayan. Okay, constantly, if you're constantly, continuously thinking of Bhagavan, what will be the result? You will attain Bhagavan. No, yad bhavaha tad bhavati. If you always you're thinking of Bhagavan, you will attain Bhagavan. You must attain Bhagavan. Why? That is the law. This law is very much applicable in this very life. You're thinking of Bhagavan, you will attain Bhagavan. So, anuchintayan mam paramam divyam purusham yati. He attains me. And to attain Bhagavan, remember all Bhagavan always. How is it possible? He can remember Bhagavan always with the mind, which is distraction free mind. If the mind has to be distraction free mind, the mind must be ended with the practice. Because the mind must have practiced it for length of time. So that is why it will practice. When should I start now? Right now, from today onwards, right now, if we should start that. So the practice is there. Continuously, constantly practice this. Deliberately for some time. Then it will become what? It will become your habit. Once you that then are always thinking of Bhagavan effortlessly, then you will definitely attain Bhagavan only. Very simple. So look at this now. Abhyasa yoga yuktena nanya gamina chetasa chin anuchintayan purushaha he partha paramam divyam purusham yati. So remembering the Lord always, he attains the Lord. But to remember the Lord always, you must have what? Distraction free mind. The mind must be distraction-free mind. How can you have distraction-free mind? Mind will be distracted. Okay. The difficult thing is what? Remembering Bhagavan is very easy. But to have distraction-free mind is difficult. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. Only by constant practice. So because of constant practice, the person has earned what? Distraction-free mind. And with such a distraction-free mind, when the person remembers Bhagavan continuously and he attains Bhagavan. So practice, have distraction-free mind and think of Bhagavan with the distraction-free mind, you will attain Bhagavan. The four steps are given here. Attainment of Bhagavan is possible if you think of Bhagavan always. To think of Bhagavan, you can't think of Bhagavan, one of the things which you think, okay? You think so many things. And one of the objects which I remember, which I think is Bhagavan, means it is not easy to attain Bhagavan. If you have to attain Bhagavan, you must be thinking of Bhagavan. To be able to think of Bhagavan always, you must have a distraction-free mind. And to have the distraction-free mind, initially you make efforts to remember Bhagavan and you must practice it for length of time. Once you practice and practice, then effortlessly you'll be thinking of Bhagavan. This is the order given here. Okay. Let me tell you what it is. See, when should I think of Bhagavan? See, there's another word implied here. Antakale. No, antakale, prayana kale. When a person is at the deathbed, no, then he must be remembering Bhagavan. Okay? at the time of death, a person must be a remember Bhagavan, able to remember Bhagavan. A person must remember Bhagavan. And if a person remembers, and so when he remembers Bhagavan, which sort of Bhagavan should he be remembering? Paramam Divyam Purusham Anuchintayati. Anuchintayan. He remembers the Lord who is exalted, who is divine Lord. So how can he remember Paramam Divyam Purusham? What is exalted divine Lord? You have to remember here. Bhagavan in his higher nature. The higher nature of Bhagavan is said to be Paramam Divyam, Paramaha Divyaha Purushaha. The higher nature of Bhagavan. Higher nature of Bhagavan means what? Means Bhagavan is said to be Purushaha. Purushaha means what? The one who dwells, the one who dwells in everybody's mind. One who dwells, one who resides in the mind of everyone, in everyone's heart. No hriddeshe tishtati. Purushaha means pure ushati, pure shete itti purushaha. One who resides in the mind of everyone is Purushaha. So the Puram actually, the physical body is said to be Navadvara Puram, nine gated city. So in this physical body, not only this physical body, we have different layers of personality. If you, you know, analyze all this, then there in the mind, in the Golakam called heart, there is Antahkaranam. In the Antahkarana Indriyam, as a truth of very I, Bhagavan is there, available for recognition. And such Bhagavan, the Bhagavan as the very formless, abstract reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, is said to be here Purushaha. The pure knowledge, the pure consciousness, which indwells every individual being as the very truth of I, being available for recognition in the mind of everyone, as is said to be Purushaha. Okay. And what is another meaning for the word Purushaha? You know, Sarvam Purayati Iti Purushaha. The one who fills everything, one who pervades everything. One who pervades everything. Therefore, the all-pervasive. So the all-pervasive reality, which pervades in and through everything alone, is there as the innermost essence of every being, in the mind of everyone, in the heart of everyone, as the very truth of I, recognizable as the very surupam of I. Therefore, this reality is said to be Purushaha here. That reality is the surupam of Ishvara, and Bhagavan, Ishvara, Bhagavan is known by the term Purushaha in terms of its essential nature of all pervasiveness and obtaining as the very innermost essence of every being. Therefore, Purushaha has two meanings. The one who indwells in the mind, in every individual mind as the truth of I, and the one who is, one who fills everything and pervades everything is Purushaha. That is Ishvara Swarupam. Then, Divyaha, not only Purushaha, Paramaha, this Purushaha is Divyaha. Divyaha actually means the one who is of the nature of this, the Lord, who is of the nature of all pervasiveness, who obtains as the very essential truth nature of every individual, is actually of the nature of knowledge, consciousness. Divyam means, divyam implies that which shines. Therefore, that which is of the nature of consciousness. So, Bhagavan is of the nature of consciousness. Okay. Divyam. And Paramaha, exalted. Therefore, it says, here the person who is thinking of Bhagavan at the time of death is actually the Saguna Upasakaha. Saguna Upasakaha means what? He remembers Bhagavan with attributes. And Nirguna Upasakaha sees this Bhagisha Sarupam as one's own Sarupam. But Saguna Upasaka does not know. But still, he sees Bhagavan is the one who is all pervasive. Bhagavan is the one who is there in the mind of everyone. Bhagavan is actually in the form of knowledge. He doesn't know how Bhagavan is in the form of knowledge. He doesn't know how Bhagavan is all pervasive. Doesn't know Bhagavan is the truth of everyone. He doesn't know all that. But he only thinks of the attributes. He sees them not as Swarupam, but as Kalyana Guna, as an attribute. Okay, what is Swarupam for a wise person? For the person who is Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha, for him, Ishwara Swarupam. He sees Ishwara Swarupam as one's own Swarupam. But a Saguna Upasaka sees all these nature of Bhagavan as Bhagavan's gunas, attributes. So he thinks of Bhagavan as all pervasive. Bhagavan is the form of knowledge. He thinks of Hach Bhagavan. You know, not knowing Bhagavan, he just thinks of Bhagavan's attributes. Saguna Brahma Upasakaha he is. And he thinks, so with the mind, which is, because constantly when a person is thinking of Ishwara's nature like that, and the mind gets used to it. It's called Abhyasa Yoga Yuktam Manaha. Such a mind doesn't get distracted at all. If you are thinking of something continuously, constantly, your mind will not be distracted towards something else. The constant practice will help you maintain, sustain distraction-free mind. It is very natural and easy for the mind to get distracted, to be disturbed. You want to have the mind which is distraction-free, undisturbed, undistracted mind. It is possible only if you initially you make efforts not to get distracted and constantly you practice. So, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Nanyagamina Chetasa. The mind goes elsewhere, everywhere, means Anyagami Manaha. You sit for puja, you think of food. You sit for puja, think of your friend. You sit for puja, think of your post. You sit for puja, think of something else. Then it's called Anyagami Manaha. You sit for the class, you think of coffee tea. Then it's called Anyagami Manaha. But Nanyagamina Chetasa, the mind which is not distracted by anything, such a focused, distraction-free mind with the proper practice. If a person thinks of, even if you do not understand Bhagavan's Rupam, you think of Bhagavan as the one who is all pervasive, who is divine like this all the time, then such a person, no doubt, he will reach me alone. Yati. No? Mam Yati. See, Bhagavan emphasizes the constant practice. Bhagavan emphasizes constant practice. We must make efforts to really start somewhere. So every day by doing deliberately, it becomes a practice. Once you constantly practice, then mind will learn to be with that object. It's called then distraction-free mind you have. If such a mind is there, then you can continuously think of Bhagavan even at the time of death. If you think of Bhagavan at the time of death, and no doubt you will reach Bhagavan. As the clue is given here. Now the question comes, how can I think of Bhagavan? How can I practice? How can I have nanyagami manaha? How can I have distraction free manaha? How can I have abhyasa yoga yuktam manaha? How can I have the trained mind? How can I have the distraction free mind? For which Bhagwan gives solution. Kavim Puranam. Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram. Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram. Anoraniyam Samanusmaredyaha. Anoraniyam Samanusmaredyaha. Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam. Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam. Aditya Varnam Tamasah Parastat. Aditya Varnam Tamasah Parastat. Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram. Anoraniyan Samanusmaredyah. Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam. Aditya Varnam Tamasah Parastat. So here, Yaha Anusmaret. Anusmaret. See, Smarati Anusmarati. Smarati means remembers. Anusmarati means constantly remembers, continuously remembers. There's a never a time Bhagavan is forgotten. Okay? So, without forgetting any time, one who remembers Bhagavan always, yaha anusmaret, one who remembers Bhagavan, which Bhagavan? He says, Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anoraniyan Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam. So here, all the words describe only Bhagavan. Okay? A meditator, a clue is given here. That Bhagavan here describes the attributes of Ishvara. Attributes of Ishvara, Gunaha, Ishvara Dharmaha. What are all the natural, the attributes of Bhagavan are given here. Krishna himself presents the attributes of Ishvara. And these attributes of Ishvara, why does Bhagavan Krishna mention the attributes of the Lord here? Because these are the attributes, if we know, suppose the person can remember, he's at the deathbed, he can remember those attributes. For a person to meditate, he must know some attributes. What will he meditate on? You must know the attributes of the Lord. Whether you know Ishvara Swarupam or not, but you can know at least Ishvara Gunas, the attributes. If the person knows attributes of the Lord, he can remember the Lord. Because you have to remember the Lord only in terms of its attributes. If you remember the Lord in terms of its nature, Swarupam, it is Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. Remember the Lord in terms of his attributes, then it is Saguna Brahma Upasana. Lord is essentially of the nature of attributelessness. Please understand, Ishwaraha, Bhagavan, essentially is of the nature of attributelessness. what is Ishvara's Swarupam, when you are not able to understand Ishvara's Swarupam, at least you see them as Ishvara's attributes. Okay? Ishvara's Swarupam eva, Ishvara's Swarupam, Ishvara's essential nature is looked upon as Ishvara's attributes. If you are able to dwell upon Ishvara's Swarupam, then it is Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. And how can you dwell upon Ishvara's Swarupam? Ishvara's Swarupam, which you understand as your own Swarupam. When you understand Ishvara's Swarupam as your own Swarupam, then when you dwell upon your Swarupam, you are dwelling upon Ishvara's Swarupam, which is Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, which is Hridhyasanam. That is different. But until you are able to dwell upon Ishvara's Swarupam, until you understand Ishvara's Swarupam as your own Swarupam, the same Swarupam can be looked upon as Ishvara's attributes. All pervasiveness. What is all pervasiveness? If you know what all pervasiveness means, then when you dwell upon all pervasiveness as a Swarupam of your Atma, as yourself, then you're dwelling upon Ishvara's Swarupam. But you do not know, understand what is all pervasiveness, etc. But you simply heard the word all pervasiveness. Then you see, understand all pervasiveness as Ishvara's attribute. What the point? We'll see both. It's very interesting. Like that, seeing Ishvara's Swarupam as the attribute of Ishvara, and Bhagavan Krishna here presents some attributes of Ishvara. Why? So that a person can remember these attributes. Ishvarasya Kalyana Guna. Bhagavan is said to be Kalyana Guna Sampannaha. Kalyana Guna Sampannaha means one who is endowed with all auspicious attributes. So what is Swarupam for Niridhyasakaha, Nirguna Brahma Upasaka, is Kalyana Gunaha for a Saguna Brahma Upasaka. Got the point? Okay. First, Kavihi. Let me tell, all the words are in objective case. Let me give all these words in nominative case first. Bhagavan is described here as Kavihi. Number one, Kavihi. Puranaha. Third word, Anushasita. Today I may not be able to do a lot, but let me tell you all these points. Kavihi. Number one word. Puranaha. Third word, Anushasita. Fourth word, Anoho Aniyan. Anor Aniyaha. You can miss. Sarvasya Dhata. See, in the verse, all the words are in objective case. Because Bhagavan is, all these words are described here as Bhagavan's attributes. And for the purpose of meditation. So, they're all in objective case. But I want to understand what are all Bhagavan's attributes. Kavihi, Puranaha, Anushasita, Anoho Aniyan, Sarvasya Dhata, Achintya Rupaha, Aditya Varnaha, Tamasaha Parastat. Tamasaha Parastat. Or Tamasaha Parastat Sun. Sun, I'm adding. These are the eight attributes described here. Eight attributes. Kavihi, Puranaha, Anushasita, Anoraniyan, Sarvasya Dhata, Achintya Rupaha, Aditya Varnaha, Tamasaha Parastat, Sun. eight attributes. So, eight names of the Lord. Eight names. Why eight names? Bhagavan is only one. What is only Bhagavan? Why eight names? Each name represents a given attribute of Bhagavan. So, eightfold attributes describing only Bhagavan. Eightfold attributes of Bhagavan. Therefore, eightfold attribute, the Bhagavan with these attributes are given eight different names. Kavihi, Anushasita, Sarvasya Dhata, etc. Okay. So, Bhagavan says here, now we have to see each and every word separately. Kavihi. Kavihi means omniscient. Sarvajnaha, all-knowing. Bhagavan is all-knowing. See, all-knowing is the swarupam. The swarupam, omniscience being the nature of the Lord, one must study Vedanta Shastram, understand the word, and the meaning must be, one must have got the meaning unfolded. Isn't it? How all-knowing is the swarupam of reality? If you know, it's called a swarupa anusandhanam. It's contemplation. Now you do not know, you only know what Lord is essentially of the nature of omniscience. Illa marindavar. How Bhagavan is all-knowing? If you know how you say all-knowing is the nature attribute, then it is swarupam. That is, then it is for nididhyasana. But now, you do not know how Bhagavan is all-knowing. But you only know Bhagavan is all-knowing. How do you know? You do not know. Shastram tells you. Shastram Puranas tell you. Shastram tells you. You go and listen to this different lectures. So that is why without having association with the scriptural study, there's no way of appreciating Ishvara Swarupam or Ishvara Gunaha. I'm using two words. Ishvara Swarupam and Ishvara Gunaha. What is the difference? Ishvara Swarupam understood. See, Ishvara Swarupam understood as one's own Swarupam. Through the Shastra study, the Swarupam. But the Swarupam ununderstood is what? The Swarupam is not understood. That's just the word for you. It is ununderstood meaning of the words. Which reveal Ishvara's Swarupam become attributes of Ishvara. Now, Kavihi means omniscient, all-knowing. All-knowing. For Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha, omniscience, he knows how reality is of the nature of all knowledge. Whereas, the simple devotee who can't understand, is not exposed to the Vedantic study, or who simply heard Puranas and everywhere, Bhagavan is all knowledge. And for him, it is an attribute. Kalyana Gunaha, non-specious attribute. All-knowing, omniscient, Kavihi. Then Anushasi, Puranaha. Next is the word Puranaha. Puranaha, beginningless, endless, therefore, most ancient. Why? Bhagavan has no beginning. Bhagavan is not created by anybody else. Therefore, Ishvara is the most ancient. Puranaha. then anushasita anushasti iti anushasita, one who governs all the living beings, remaining as the law of karma, as the bestower of fruits of actions, as the determiner of the fruits of actions. One who governs, remaining as the bestower of fruits of actions. Anushasita. Then Anoraniyan. Ishvara is bigger than the biggest, subtler than the subtlest. If you know how you say Ishvara subtlest, subtler than the subtlest, you simply understand Ishvara is subtler than the subtlest. It is Ishvara's attribute. If you understand how Ishvara is subtler than subtlest, it's called Swarupa Jnanam. Okay? Guna Jnanam, Swarupa Jnanam. If you understand Ishvara, the words, as a word, it is knowledge of Ishvara's attributes. If you understand how Ishvara is all-knowing, it is called Swarupa Jnanam. We simply know Ishvara is all-knowing. It is called Guna Jnanam. It's called Guna Jnanam, knowledge of the attribute. If you understand how Ishvara is all-knowing, it is called Swarupa Jnanam. If you know Ishvara is the bestower of the law, bestower of the fruits of actions, it is called Guna Jnanam. How Ishvara is the bestower of all the results of actions, it's called Swarupa Jnanam. Okay? So if you have Swarupa Jnanam, you will be a contemplator. If you have only Guna Jnanam, you are a meditator. You have the knowledge of the attributes, you are a meditator. You have knowledge of the nature of Ishvara, you are a contemplative person. Okay. Anusha, Anoho Aniyan, subtler than the subtlest, which means how Ishvara's Swarupam is essentially subtler. Then the subtlest, what is subtle, what is subtler, and how Ishvara is the subtlest, subtler than the subtlest. If you understand, it is Swarupa Jnanam. If you do not understand that, you simply say, Ishvara is subtler than the subtlest, it is Ishvara's attribute. And here, is not Swarupa Anusandhanam, it is Ishvara Kalyana Guna Dhyanam. It is meditation upon Ishvara's attributes. It is not meditation upon Ishvara's Swarupam. Ishvara's Swarupam is what? Meditation upon Ishvara's essential nature is contemplation. Meditation upon Ishvara's attributes is meditation. Saguna Upasanam, Nirguna Upasanam. We should remember that very well. In Saguna Upasanam, you are not meditating upon Ishvara's Swarupam. Meditating upon Ishvara's attributes. Why are there only attributes? You only understand Ishvara is all-knowing. But how Ishvara is all-knowing? How Ishvara is the Anushasita? How Ishvara is bestower of, results of actions? That you do not know. To understand how Ishvara is of all-knowing, how Bhagavan is bestower of fruits of actions, to understand, you should understand your own nature. If you know your own Swarupam, to understand Ishvara's Swarupam, then it is contemplation. But here, we are dealing with meditation. Okay. The Sarvasya Dhata means the sustainer of everything. Sustainer of the one who lends existence to everything, the one who sustains everything is said to be Sarvasya Dhata. Now, if you understand Bhagavan, the sustainer of everything, it is simply an attribute. If you, how Bhagavan is obsessed of everything, if you know, it is Swarupa Jnanam. Achintya Rupaha. Bhagavan is inconceivable. Bhagavan is of the nature of Bhagavan is inconceivable, incomprehensible. Because Bhagavan is not available for thought conception. Bhagavan is not conceivable. Bhagavan is not describable. Bhagavan is not perceivable. Therefore, Bhagavan is incomprehensible, inconceivable. If you understand, it is Ishvara Kalyana Gunaha. If you understand how, why Ishvara is not perceptible, why Ishvara is not describable, why Ishvara is not conceivable, if you understand through Upanishadic study, it is Swarupam. Is it clear now? I'm sure I have made it very clear. What is Swarupam? What is Gunaha? We simply say Ishvara is inconceivable. Ishvara is not incomprehensible. Ishvara is imperceptible. Ishvara is not indescribable. If you say it is attribute. If you understand why, how Ishvara is indescribable, why Ishvara is imperceptible, why Ishvara is incomprehensible, if you understand, it is Ishvara Swarupa Jnanam. I'm sure I want to make it very clear today between these two differences. What is Swarupam? What is Gunaha? The words describing Ishvara. When you understand the meaning of every word, it is Ishvara's Swarupam. If you simply understand the word as a, what it says, it is the Kalyana Gunaha. And how do you get all these words? All scriptures describe. All Puranas describe these words. When they describe Ishvara, they talk about these words. Who is Bhagavan? Hey, Bhagavan is the one from whom everything has come into existence. Bhagavan is the one by whom everything is sustained. Bhagavan is the one in whom everything resolves. Bhagavan is the one who sustains everything. Bhagavan is the one who gives the results of all actions. Bhagavan is the one who is in the heart of everyone. Bhagavan is the one who makes, like, gives life for all the beings. Bhagavan is the one who is in the form of everything. Like that, Puranas describe Bhagavan like this. So all these words, when we do understand them, how Bhagavan, how everything has come into existence from Bhagavan? Who is that Bhagavan? How Bhagavan is the one in whom everything remains resolved? How Bhagavan is the sustainer of everything? When you understand how and why, you understand Swarupam. Without understand, asking the question how and why, simply accept the words as words, it is Ishvara Kalyana Gunaha. Simply thinking of Bhagavan as with these attributes is Upasanam. Saguna Dhyana, Saguna Brahma Upasanam. You see the meaning of these words, then those, now you can understand Ishvara Swarupam as your own Swarupam. Difference between Saguna and Nirguna. Therefore, Achintyam, and then Aditya Varnaha. You do not know how Bhagavan is of the nature of, Bhagavan is of the nature of self-effulgence. Bhagavan is of the nature of self-effulgence, and Bhagavan is in the form of the absolute light which lights up everything. But Bhagavan is what? Bhagavan is like the sun, Aditya Varnaha. Bhagavan is as effulgent as the sun. Bhagavan is effulgent like the sun. We simply say that. We do not know how Bhagavan is all illumining. Bhagavan is as effulgent as the sun means. Bhagavan is effulgent like the sun means. Sun illumines everything. So Bhagavan also is illumining everything. How? We do not know that. We do not know, it is a guna. Okay. Tamasaha parastat one who is beyond the darkness of ignorance, tamasaha parastat. Tamasaha parastat. Okay. Now you learnt all these words. Kavihi, Puranaha, Anushasita, Anoho Aniyan, Sarvasya Dhata, Achintya Rupaha, Aditya Varnaha, Tamasaha Parastat. Each and every word describes Bhagavan's attribute. What is attribute for meditator is the very swarupam of one's own self for the person who is contemplative. Is it clear now? That is why, unless we study the Vedanta Shastram, we understand our own swarupam. Okay, our own swarupam. Then we understand Ishwara Swarupam, which is Ishwara Swarupam itself. It is contemplation. But now what do we say? We do not know that. We do not know how Bhagavan is all pervasive, how Bhagavan is all knowing, how Bhagavan is subtler than subtlest, how Bhagavan is, we do not know. Without knowing how and why, we simply understand Bhagavan's Swarupam as the Gunaha. They are only simply Gunaha, attributes. Understand? Therefore, we understand these gunas because this is all our scriptures describe Bhagavan is in this form. Even not only our Puranas, other cultures also talk about Bhagavan as this only. Ishvara is described in all the other scriptures also like this, all knowing, etc. But the difference between other cultures and us, ours is we explain how, why. Others, they do not. That is the difference. Understand? They only say Ishvara Gunaha, but they do not say talk about Ishvara Swarupam. There's the difference. It's our culture, other cultures. And for them, that's why there's some methodology there. And here we have Gunaha. So Bhagavan says, Yaha Anusmaret, one who remembers constantly the Lord as the one endowed with these eightfold attributes. Naturally, he will attain Bhagavan. Attain Bhagavan means what? He will attain Bhagavan means whatever he is thinking of, he'll attain. It means he'll entertain the same thoughts again. So that he will be Bhagavan. And this gradually will help him understand how and why Bhagavan is all-knowing. How and why Bhagavan is all-protective. Why and how Bhagavan is Anushasita, etc. He'll understand. Okay? We only saw the attributes here. Again, next class, I'll make it very clear. The Swarupa Anusandhanam and Kalyana Guna Upasanam. Kalyana Guna Upasanam is Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Swarupa Anusandhanam is Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. The difference, next class. Okay, we'll see again. Just you see the words. Why Bhagavan is presenting now? Suppose somebody asks, what should they meditate upon? How can I meditate upon Ishvara? I do not know Bhagavan's form. I do not know who Bhagavan is. I do not know anything about Bhagavan. How can I meditate upon Bhagavan? Bhagavan says, these are the words describing Bhagavan's attributes. And if you really want to know seriously how Bhagavan is all-knowing, then study Upanishads. Okay. Let us see the verse and stop here. Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anoraniyam Samanusmaredyaha
சர்வஸ்ய தாதாரமசிந்த்ய ரூபம் ஆதித்ய வண்ணம் தமஸஃ பரஸ்தாத். பிரயாண காலே மனஸ்தாச்சலேன பக்த்யா யுக்தோ யோக பலேன சைவ ப்ருவோர்மத்யே பிராணமாவேஷ சம்யக் சதம் பரம் புருஷமுபைதி திவ்யம்.
ஓகே, ஃபர்ஸ்ட் த 9th அண்ட் 10th வெர்சஸ் வி ஷுட் ரீட் டு தம் டுகெதர். நெக்ஸ்ட் கிளாஸ் அண்ட் எக்ஸ்பிளைன் டு நெக்ஸ்ட் கிளாஸ். Today I took a lot of time to describe, explain difference between Saguna Upasana and Nirguna Upasana. And in this chapter, we are only understanding Saguna Upasana. What is an attribute of the attributeless Ishvara? But what is Swarupam? That we will explain again next class. And here, Bhagavan says, if a person remembers, meditates upon Bhagavan's these attributes at the time of death, what will happen? And he reaches whom? Attends Ishvara means who is Ishvara there? Which sort of, what is the benefit of Saguna Brahma Upasanam? The Saguna Brahma Upasanam give a person moksha. If not, what does he attain? What is the form of the Lord he attain? He attains, etc. The benefit of Saguna Brahma Upasanam is given in the next verse, 10th verse, which I have to read together to give you complete meaning of the 9th verse. So today just I focus only on these 8 attributes of the Lord. I wait to explain. I'll continue next class.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. ஹரி ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீகுருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம்.